scratching and give me a beat. Ouch! Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the hi-hat. Go on. That's good. Now the tambourine. Right now.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a special WGXC Morning Show for you today. We are going to hear from Elena Mosley, the founder and director of Operation Unite, interviewed by the Camp Hill Media Group on their Live by Life segment. They'll talk to the Claverack resident about her many years helping the local community here. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network, on air, in air, waves, controlled, on air, in air, channel, connection, and the moon turns to blood, a stream runs through, this is the network, network, this is the news, this is the network, this is the news, this is the network.
Hi, this is Alana from Sauk Hill. I'm the host of There There on WGXC Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. Radio for open ears.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Al Margolis of Chester, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Monday, July 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that it is now official. An extended 20-year tax break has been given to the new Athens Generating Company, commonly referred to as Athens Gen. Usually, tax breaks are given to companies to lure them to an area, but Athens Gen Power Plant has been getting a tax break from Greene County for years. Even though members of the public consistently showed up against the tax break at several public hearings, the town of Athens, Catskill Central School District, the Greene County Legislature, and the Greene County Industrial Development Agency all signed off on the tax break. The story does not say how much less Athens Gen is paying in taxes. Greene County Legislator Ed Bloomer was just about the only local official to oppose the project, even though he did not. While he voted no, he said he favored the tax break. Bloomer said, quote, "If this pilot goes forward, I feel it would be a positive benefit for all parties. I think it is the best way to go. There is a significant volume of people in Athens who disagree with that. People I respect, being far more learned than I am. I want to honor their voice. I vote a reluctant no, unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Steve Hughes reports for the Times-Union that Albany County Executive Dan McCoy and Sheriff Craig Apple are up for re-election this fall, but have no primary or general election opponents. That has not stopped them from raising money. Together, McCoy and Apple have more than $1 million to spend on future campaigns. Apple has $646,025 in his last campaign finance filings with the state. McCoy, a Democrat, has $378,223. Apple says he is prepared for when he does have an opponent, saying, quote, a sheriff's race years ago was probably on the highest, most competitive end was like 80 to 100 grand. Now in Albany County, if you have an opponent, you're going to drop 250 to 300,000 in a New York minute, unquote. McCoy agreed, saying, quote, I'm always prepared. I get ready for the worst case scenario and I don't take it for granted. And I like to campaign. I like to get out there and put my message to the people. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Kevin Fry reports for New York State of Politics that Amtrak officials are warning that if a Republican-backed plan in Washington becomes law, there will be reduced or suspended services. A budget bill approved by a Republican-led House committee last week would cut Amtrak's federal funding next year by nearly two-thirds, or about $1.6 billion. Even some New York Republicans are sounding the alarm about the bill. Long Island Representative Andrew Garbarino said he was, quote, concerned, unquote, and that, quote, I and other New Yorkers in Congress are actively engaging in discussions with appropriations staff and members on this topic, unquote. Amtrak's Northeast Corridor would lose about $1 billion in funding, according to a Democratic aide. Suffolk County Republican Representative Nick LaLotta said, quote, I will not be a part of another attempt to screw New York. I am looking forward to a lively amendment process to right some of these wrongs, unquote. Even far-right Republican Elise Stefanik said there will be, quote, a significant amendment process, unquote, on the House floor for this bill. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, July 24th. We are 56.1% of the way through the year. There are 61 days left until the autumnal equinox. Early morning temperatures range from 55 degrees in Durham to 66 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 71 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. A cool morning will give way to a warm and possibly stormy afternoon. A high of 86 happens at 3 p.m. and then it drops, and the rain will likely fall on some and not others. All of that ends by dark. Comfortable temperatures show back up around 9 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 64 degrees. Tomorrow, high of 85. More rain coming in the afternoon. Hey, I guess it is summer. 63 degrees overnight takes us into a hot, dry, sunny, desert-like Wednesday with a high of 94. Thursday, rain comes back, still hot with a high of 92. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:59 a.m., high tide at 7:44 a.m., low tide at 2:19 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:39 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees. And the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:10 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:37 a.m. Looking way up, we see Anhadouken is on the way. It is moving slow and has an appointment for Thursday. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 423 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 28 MHz overnight. There are no chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 117, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Nah, I don't like that.
Well, try just putting on, even if it takes a hair more time, putting a little bit more. A wry thing on correct.
Track 13. This announcement from the producers of this record contains important information for radio program directors and is not for broadcast. The first cut on this record has been cross-format focused for airplay success. As you well know, a record must break on radio in order to actually provide a living for the artists involved. Up until now, you've had to make these record-breaking decisions on your own, relying only on perplexing intangibilities like taste and intuition. But now, there's a better way. The cut that follows is the product of newly developed compositional techniques based on state-of-the-art marketing analysis technology. This cut has been analytically designed to break on radio, and it will, sooner or later. For the station that breaks it first, the benefits are obvious. You lead the pack. Yes, no matter what share of this crazy market you do business in, no other release is going to satisfy your corporation's current idea of good radio like this one. On this cut, we're working together on the same wavelength in scientific harmony. But remember, this cut is constructed for multi-market breaking now. Don't waste valuable research with needless delay. We've done the hard work of ensuring your success. The final step is up to you. Special designer song follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
WGX listeners, welcome to Live by Life. This is Matthew Whitney Harrington from Campbell Hudson. In the studio with me is Kelly Amicon and Rachel and Margaret Sherman and Michael Patrick Hoy. We have very special guests today. Joining us is Elena Mosley.
She has lived in Columbia County for many years, is involved in many culture, educational, artistic groups. She also is the founder of Operation Unite, New York. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome, everyone.
Okay. Where were you born, and what was life is like there?
Oh, okay. Well, I was born in Manhattan, New York, and I grew up in all the five boroughs of New York. So my mother had 9 children, and so I had a nice big family. And I would say I was very young in Manhattan. We moved to Brooklyn, the Bronx, and then Staten Island. So I would say my best memories are in elementary school in Staten Island, New York. And then when I graduated Curtis High School, I went to New York University. And after working for NYU for about a year, I came to Columbia County. So I've been up here for many years.
It's been about 40-plus years, right?
Absolutely.
Because you, when you had your first child, I think, right, you moved up here shortly after, I think?
Yeah, I was up here. I was up here for about a year and a half, or a year or two, and then I had my first child. So I had an apartment in Washington Heights and also here because my husband, Greg, was stationed here with the state police.
Yeah. We'll get to that, too.
How long have you lived in Columbia County, and what brought you here?
Well, I was brought here because my husband, Greg Mosley, was stationed with the New York State Police. So that had us move here, and I had a dual apartment. I was still working for NYU. And after I had my first son, Glenn Paul, I decided to just live in Columbia County. So I've been in Columbia County about 43 years.
More than half your life now, then.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely.
So you are a lifelong resident.
Tell us about your heritage, your culture, and family, and how did you meet your husband, Greg?
Okay, that's a good question, Kelly. So, my heritage. I am an African-American Puerto Rican woman. So my father is from Puerto Rico, and he was raised there and came to the States, I believe, in his early 20s. My mother is African-American, and my grandmother is from the South. We are Gullah Geechee people, and my grandmother came to work in the city to make a living for her family. So that started our family life in the North, and that's really the heritage from both sides of my family. And how I met my husband, oh, gee, we just was talking about this. Well, I celebrated my 45th wedding anniversary a week ago. So
congratulations.
Yeah, we met. I was in high school. He was 2 years older than me. And he invited me to dinner. On his 18th birthday, he took me out to dinner. That was our first date. And I guess we met because he came to see me because he heard about a new cheerleader. And him and his friends came to the game to see who that was. And it took about 3 years later where we finally started to date when he was 18. And I was almost 16. And he made me a cake and brought me flowers for my 16th birthday. And the rest is history.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Your high school school sweethearts. Yeah. Awesome. You want to read the next?
I think that's totally amazing.
Yeah?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you all have such great questions. I can't wait for the next one.
Tell us about your love for dancing.
Oh, I started dancing at age 5. We were living in the Bronx, and there was a community center. And I heard there was a dance class, and I would get up on Saturday and do whatever I thought was my little chores, and I would go to the community center at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there was a young teacher who was teaching African dance, and the music we used were she used albums, and my favorite was Drums of Passion, which is by Olatunji. And that's pretty much what started me dancing. And then I just took advantage of every free opportunity. There was flamenco dancing and castanets in my elementary school in the Bronx. There was, different things that would happen in the New York City parks. There was always drumming and music and songs and things like that. And occasionally a couple of opportunities in the day camps. So that's what started me dancing, and invited to do a little ballet from one of the African dance teachers that I met, and I started a dance company. I started dancing in an African dance company when I was age 14.
Drums of Passion.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sound of that.
Baba Tunde.
Okay. You want me?
How and when did you start Operation Unite, and what is its purpose?
Well, my husband, myself, and several other grassroots members of Hudson started Operation Unite. Rudolph Stevenson, Barbara Walthour, Bessie Bowie, and these members have passed away. Reverend Ed Cross is still with us and active in the community. And probably one or two others. And we started it because we were interested in the lives of young people in Hudson. And back then, we had 50% blight. 50% of our business community was empty. So it was a transitioning time for us in Hudson. But we saw opportunities to bring organized activities for youth that were in Hudson and hanging out on the streets.
You, from what I remember, or what I heard about with Operation Unite, was that Greg went to Chicago and met a former NBA basketball player who got him inspired, and that's where you got the inspiration for the operation.
Yeah.
The original impetus.
Absolutely, yes. Craig Hodges was playing for the Chicago Bulls back in the late 80s, and he and his sister and brother went to Chicago to look at his youth organization, which was called Operation Unite. And they came back inspired, and my brother-in-law, Jerry Mosley, who is a basketball consultant, started Operation Bosch Unite. My sister-in-law started an organization, and she called hers Choice, Not Chance. Mm-hmm. And we all had different emphases. So for us here in Hudson, what we saw important was activities that would eventually start to build character and teamwork. So Operation Unite here in Hudson was not really sports oriented. It was sports inclusive, which included the academics and the arts, and then some sports. And that's how we really got started, because we looked at what our community needed. So, so that was the inspiration. And Operation Unite, it's not a franchise. Those other legs of with the same namesake, I would say, are no longer in existence. But we are in our 31st year for Operation Unite. So we're really happy about inspiration.
That deserves a bell ring, 31 years.
Woohoo.
Yeah, you've had that building on Columbia Street for over 20 years now, right? That's your headquarters?
Yeah, we purchased that in 1999. We started at a storefront on Warren Street and then purchased that in 1999.
My bell's not working. Help me. Oh, my God. We're stuck. Well, speaking of musical kind of instruments, Matt, you want to read that question?
Talk about your love for drumming and music.
Oh, you know, music is the universal language. No matter where you go, you can identify the culture of your village or town and look at the artists. So you check out the artists and you find out a lot and hear a lot about music. So my love for drumming, as I mentioned before, growing up in New York City, especially Manhattan and Brooklyn and the Bronx, there would always be parks nearby and there would be a lot of drumming. So I was used to hearing in Spanish Harlem, I was used to hearing a lot of congas playing and rhythms, and then a lot of drumming with some of the African rhythms and learning songs. And I found that I didn't know it, but I found that really was a big part of my life. So when I started dancing, I would go into the city to Harlem for dance classes and things like that. So what I found was that drumming is so inspiring for me that I would miss it. So I would play a lot of music for my children growing up and would take them to different places and found parks in Washington Park in Albany where folks would gather with drums, and I can really relate to that and the rhythm. So it was something that works and still works for me. And if I go without music after a couple of days, I feel like something's missing. And I made sure that my children were surrounded by not only African drums, but also a lot of Latin music.
Now, you've done a lot of, this kind of ties into my question, with Operation Unite and the music. You are a very well-known figure in Hudson outside of Hudson, because you're involved in so many different areas of our community, and also just involved in so many different groups, Hudson Opera House, which I want to ask you about, but, you know, the Black Arts Festival. But what's, like, one of your most favorite events that you have led through Operation Unite or with some other organization? You must have a lot of good memories of great events.
My favorite event is Kwanzaa and sharing that cultural holiday. I was able to start the Kwanzaa celebrations at NYU with a few students, and we began. And that also enriched my knowledge of the cultural holiday, bringing some students to actually hear Dr. Milana Karenga speak about how he started the holiday. Things like that. And I just would have celebrations in my home from when I first moved up here and would invite people. And eventually it grew too big for my house, so we realized we needed to have a community celebration, and I also was expanding my family. So that has become my favorite holiday. It allows us to include everybody who wants to learn about different cultures, and of course it has music and dance in it as well, and has expanded to literacy and literacy programs and books and things like that.
We approve, and please do more.
How did you get involved in Camp Hill?
Okay, well, my son Tristan, as you all know, started in Triform, and when he graduated in 2007 from the Hudson City School District, and he went to school in St. Coleman's in Waterville. And we were fortunate for him to be at Camp Hill Triform. And that, we felt, was really a great experience for him. And when he aged out of Triform, we were fortunate that Camp Hill Hudson Solaris was able to start. So that's where all you come in.
Yay.
Yes, indeed.
He's my buddy.
He's your buddy. Okay, good, good, good.
And then Tristan, sometimes he called me Tristan. And I was like, really? Really? I am not Tristan.
So that means Tristan's on his mind. So take it as a compliment, okay. Rachel.
Basically, it's on his mind.
Yes.
And then he's like, okay, Tristan, move it now. I was like, excuse me, I am not Tristan.
Well, first of all,
I am Rachel.
Yes, first so take of all, it as
I
a compliment.
I am a person.
First of all, let's cut this.
Thank you, Matthew.
Actually, some people like this part the most.
What's
actually
wrong with that? It sounds like that must be his favorite word.
This is real life.
Well, that's a compliment for me and a compliment for you.
See, yeah.
But
you.
There's a lot of things that he likes.
Okay, Matt. Yes, we will move on. But that's how I know about Camp Hill Hudson. While Tristan was in Triform, I met Rachel.
Yeah.
I also was able to share our music and dance programs at Triform, and then prior to COVID, we included Co-Arc and Hudson Solaris and Triform in weekly drum and dance programs, and had some performances as well. So I think Camp Hill has been around in my family thanks to all the wonderful folks, and that's where I first met Michael as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just really, really happy that we've come sort of full circle.
Yeah, and you taught me a lot of wonderful African dancing.
Well, you're a wonderful dancer.
I know I am.
Yeah, we did a drumming group, too, with Co-Arc once in our early days, where Greg and I can't remember the other person's name led
it. Pete Tenierowicz, my other
Pete.
Drummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we did it was a kind of a show at Hudson Opera House, when it first opened.
Reopened. You used to perform at our Dinner and Musics at Campbell Village Copeg.
That's right. So, see, that's why everybody here is connected. Yes, at Cafe Rose. We would come every summer and do a performance and involve everybody. And it always was a lot of fun. So our main drummers here in Hudson have been Peter Tenierowicz and Greg Mosley. And in earlier years, I was running the Kumba Dance and Drum Dance Company out of Albany. So there are a lot of other musicians as well.
Nice. The Hudson Opera House in particular, the Hudson Hall, because I understand you were a key figure in the early days of trying to get it renovated. Because I heard in another interview you gave that when the Hudson Hall or Opera House reopened that one floor, that really brought some life to Hudson that it hadn't had at that time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
20-something years ago.
Well, Estosha Berry was the president of the NAACP, and she didn't drive. And she was telling me about this new initiative. So I would take her, and it was the early steering committee. So I became part of the steering committee, and that was the discussions of Hudson Opera House. And later on, when the building was purchased, Bill Ebel, was the president back then. That was the start of Hudson Opera House, and it really was just a building that had been left unused for about 17 to 20 years. So with that, the Opera House slowly but surely, well, when Gary Shiro, our first executive director, was hired, we had moved into what we call the West Room now, which's known as the West Room. And in that room, amazing volunteers and people in the community, along with the board, started having performances. And I believe it was like in the first maybe 2 years, there were over 300 events just in that room alone. Wow. Cafes, it would just change from an office to a performance space like in a matter of 5 minutes. So it was really a wonderful adventure, especially to get it to where it is today. Yeah. And now with Tambra Dillon and Sage Carter, they have a wonderful staff that's committed, and it's a hard job, and they just do it so well. Yeah,
it's evolved over the years, and the other reason I mentioned it is that Camp Hill Hudson, we work with them. They let us use their space to perform, and that's actually a question that Kelly wanted to ask you about that.
Talk about your role in helping the Camp Hudson Theater Troupe with its original play, Happiness in the Spotlight.
Oh, that was such a fun experience this year. Well, my first experience with Camp Hill Hudson and Co-op was having everybody come for a performance during a Kwanzaa celebration. And that led to a lot of vision. So with the Camp Hill players, I come every year and bring my son Tristan. It sells out right away. Everybody needs to be there. This year, we had the opportunity to be invited to participate. So there were four members of Operation Unite, Ify Tayo is a poet and visual artist, and three youth who had the opportunity to participate as dancers, where they made their costumes and they learned how to work with some of the fabrics and became part of the show. And it really was fun. Everybody had a lot of fun, and we all learned how to work together and to collaborate with people in our community. That's the most important part.
Yeah, that was an awesome, shall I say, amazing show.
Yes, absolutely. Woohoo!
Yeah. Now, again. Oh, wow. Okay.
Calm down, Harrington.
Don't worry, listen.
You too, Shay Pomacon.
Okay. Yes.
Shay Pine.
Once is enough. Yeah, we don't want to hurt the listeners' ears.
Now,
Tristan. So, yeah, so Hudson Hall for Camp Hill Hudson and Operation Unite through Elena Mosley has had this wonderful connection. We had this wonderful play in the hall. We also had one performance where the middle school children came to see it, which was a huge new thing for us to take up. I know the kids were into it, especially the dance scene with the folks from Operation Unite. And Nicole, who's not here, was leading that, and Tiana. That felt really good to have all those different circles come together. I feel like that's what you do best is you have this way, because you know so many people, you and Greg. And I've said this about Tristan, that Tristan probably knows more people than any of us at Camp Hill Hudson. You know, if he walks down Warren Street, somebody knows him and not me or anybody else.
Oh, okay.
In case people don't know, we had this video series on our Camp Hill Hudson YouTube page called Cooking with Friends. And there's an episode of the Mosley family preparing a recipe. I think it was like goat cheese, like bruschetta or something.
And dill, and Tristan did a nice job cooking. It was fun.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of drumming on that video. So check that out, too, on our YouTube page. Who's featured on the poster of Happiness in the Spotlight. You did a dance that Elena kind of led. That's what I wanted to ask, actually.
You mean about the poem?
Yes, it was about women and strong women, and I had the opportunity to help choreograph some movement for Rachel while poetess Ipi Tayo recited her poem, and that was part of the presentation. Thank you, Rachel.
And I really appreciate it. Do we have to hear some noises?
It's okay.
Talk about how you've the whole experience of learning the dance and moving to Iffy's poem.
Yeah. It was nice to be at the Operation Unite and doing my thing with Elena, and taught me some good moves to the poem, and I felt pretty good about it, and I'm so glad that I can do it for the real play that we had at the Hudson Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, before I answer your question, Michael, I just want to say that, yes, that was a wonderful experience.
Yes, it
was. And I just want to reflect back also on the cooking show, because Matt was the MC, and we had a fairy pop in, Kelly. So I am sitting here amongst really some VIP famous people. Amongst the boards that I sit on, my initial focus was the arts and youth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, raising a family of three children, that's pretty much how I focused my activities early on. The ages of my children and what their interests were. So if I was going to start something and my kids were interested, other children could come and join in. And that's basically what my philosophy was, because I was a parent, I was working full-time as an RN, so anything I started, my kids had to be involved in it. And that followed through with the dance company in Albany. Everybody went to Albany to the rehearsals with their pillows and their books, and, you know, that's how you train your children. They grow up. And even the teachings, the Hudson Boys and Girls Club was an organization that I was on the board. And starting the youth dance in Hudson, you know, Tristan came too, and he would participate in most of the dance classes early on. And just to say how important it is for everybody to be surrounded about things for their culture, one day we were in the house, and Tristan went upstairs, and he used to love to dress in Greg's suits. And he came down the steps one day in full African garments, and he had it right, even to the kufi on his head, and he was singing Funga Alafia. And we could not stop laughing. I did grab a camera. I did take a picture. But we know that Tristan can speak and can talk. Yeah. He just does not most of the time. But it just goes to show you, when you share your culture, you know, your children are always listening and watching. So from that, I would say the boards that I looked at was things that are about youth and the arts. So there have been some involvement. Currently, I am involved with the Opera House on one of the committees, but I just served about a 27-28 year term there.
Wow.
So I'm just still, I can't let go. It's a wonderful organization, and we do a lot together as well with programming, especially with music and dance. I am involved with the Create Arts Council, which serves Columbia, Greene, and Schoharie counties. So that is something that's fairly new, maybe about 4 years, but really coming into its own for transitioning an organization. So I would say that's exciting. Other things, the Columbia County Women's Association, we started that in during COVID, and that's going strong. The other related opportunities, I would say, really deal with education, and we're trying to get new board members to keep our Hudson dollars for scholars, so we offer scholarships to anyone who lives in the Hudson City School District. And they can go to other schools, but if they live within the district, they are eligible. Mm-hmm. So those are, I would say, my most exciting boards. And there is a number one. My number one board right now is Rotary.
Rotary.
The assistant governor for our region, for our Rotary. I'm a member, of course, of the Hudson Rotary Club. Mm. And I am actually going to a celebration dinner tonight because during COVID, we started a diversity, equity, and inclusion team for our district, which goes from like Westchester to Columbia County. So that's has a lot of my time working on that and getting the message of DEI out to, we have about 52 clubs in our region. So, you know, I am shifting my focus and retiring myself out of boards to do the things that I would say kind of on my bucket list, you know, and that really is to, you know, work in areas where I think that can be most impacted to help all of us as humans to be part of the human race and work together.
Okay. I think that deserves a bell ring. Help me out. My bell. My bell is.
I like that.
My
like
bell has had better days. Cool. So this ties into Matthew's question.
Okay.
Yeah. What is your role on the Camp Hill Housing Board?
Well, that is the newest board that I'm serving on. Very happily, I am a board member. So, as a board member, it's my responsibility this year to get an understanding of what's happening with Camp Hill, to understand the governance of the organization, as well as the financial responsibilities of the organization. So I would say my number one role right now is to keep my ears open and listen, which I generally do when I join a board. The first year, I pretty much want to learn what's happening. And you know, I'll ask a question if I need to. And that's where I'm at with Camp Hill. And I think that is, that's like the board that's close to my heart, because the Camp Hill organization does so much for so many, and since my son Tristan is involved in it, it makes sense that my husband and myself put our energies to Camp Hill whenever possible.
Yay! Awesome. Ring your bell.
Yay! I'm going to clap for that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Camp Hill.
We are so happy you're a part of the board and part of our community, and Tristan as well. Who's got the next question? It's Kelly. Yeah, you wanted to ask that, Kelly.
Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about your involvement with Beautiful Racket, Hudson City School, local farms, and drumming events.
Have you been Googling me? You are asking such great questions. Oh, my goodness. You're telling all my secrets. Okay. Well, with Beautiful Racket, Anise Cousins, she is also went to school with my daughter, Emel Mosley, Tristan's sister. And so I, you know her from, you know, way back and watching the everybody grow up here in Hudson. Beautiful Racket with Anise Cousins is just a wonderful opportunity for folks to learn about music and vocal. And their voice, you know, with the vocal trainings as well. So right now I am helping to serve as a fiscal sponsor for Beautiful Racket and to support programs that they are doing in the community. With Hudson City School District, over the years there's been so many programs. We are emerging out of COVID, so right now in the school district I spent the last 2 months forming a culture club during the cafeteria, the lunch times of, or for all of the students, where we're bringing activities and games and books and some drumming and some poetry, all these things during the lunch break to share things about different cultures. So that's with the Hudson City School District. We just started back with our farm, Tomorrow in Livingston. It's a rescue animal farm.
Oh, cool.
And we were there 2 weeks ago. We'll be visiting 4 times in the summer, and this gives the opportunity for our participants to learn about the horses and the goats and the pigs, and really, you know, understanding the lives of the animals and how to really care for the horses. So we'll have some good training, training there. And our drum events, well, Waterfront Wednesdays is starting on July 5th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Waterfront Wednesdays. We've all gone to that, right?
Yeah.
We love that.
And dancing too, right, Elena?
Yes. We'll drum from 5:30 to 6:30, but somewhere around 6 o'clock, a little bit, the last 20 minutes, I'll get up and we'll do some dance steps for anybody wants to do some free movements. So nice. That's going to happen for at least 6 weeks, starting July 5th. And, of course, there will be entertainment. There'll be a couple of bands happening. And the first week, Beautiful Racket will be the host for that day.
Nice.
Thanks for mentioning that, Kelly.
Our old friend Anise.
The Waterfront Wednesdays are always on Wednesdays.
Yes.
So that's great. So we'll be looking forward to that. I'm going to be there for sure.
The next question, Rachel, is yours. I mean, Elena just kind of said it, but do you want to read it anyway?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about any upcoming events that you are planning.
Okay, we just finished a four-week drum session with John Ward, who's one of our instructors. He comes from Haynes Falls in Greene County. And July 5th starts Waterfront Wednesdays for 6 consecutive weeks. On July 6th, Operation Unite is having a opening at the Hudson Area Library. And this is for our Black and Brown Family Exhibition. So there are photos that will be exhibited. Our photographer is David McIntyre. Our reception is from 6 to 8 on July 6th. So hopefully you all will come by and look at the photos and have some refreshments. On July 29th, Operation Unite is partnering with John Campbell and the Hudson Area Library. And we are bringing up three members from the Alvin Ailey II Dance Company. There's going to be workshops for youth at the Hudson Area Library. And at 2 o'clock, it'll be an opportunity for the public to come in and watch some demonstrations. And that's on July 29th. On the 28th, there will be a film as well at the Hudson Area Library. So those are two things happening. And then we move into August, and, let me just say before we move on the 29th, as we move into the day after the Alvin Ailey, I'll be heading down to the waterfront for the Beautiful Racket Music Festival. So we'll be helping there. And again, that's coordinated by Anise. So there you
go. Awesome.
And on Friday and Saturday, August 11th and 12th, Operation Unite will be presenting the annual Hudson Sankofa Black Arts and Cultural Festival and Parade. And I'm hoping that some folks will be around to march in the parade and represent Camp Hill Hudson.
Yes, I'll be there. It's great. I love it.
Elena, did you say the library is not far from me?
Yes, the Hudson Area Library on 5th and State Street. Yes, so you can just come out your house and walk right up the street, Rachel.
Because I am in State Street. Mm-hmm. So it's the library that the Hudson Library in State Street to go there.
Yes. So
it's not far from me, so I can just walk there.
You can walk there. I'm going to look forward to seeing you. And last but not least.
Is that July 5th?
July 29th. Is for the Alvin Alley.
Oh.
And July 6th is for the art exhibition that you can walk up and go to.
Maybe I'd like to go to one for the July 6th.
Okay. The last event, I mentioned the Hudson Sankofa Festival. Friday is the opening night, and we're going to have some capoeira dancing. So that's going to be great.
Capoeira.
It's a workshop, and you should come out to that. There'll be an open mic with Low Key after that. And on Saturday is the family day and the parade. So there'll be lots of things happening through the summer.
Our friend Sean loves capoeira.
I can see what I can do.
Okay. I'll be watching for all of you.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? You know, I like gardening. I was always very busy with family life. And as I started to have teenagers and they had their own social life and being busy and mommy taxi, in my own time, I started really experimenting and working in the garden. So now that it's summertime, I spend probably, I dedicate at least 3 days for 2 to 4 hours of being outside. So, and it's really fun because I don't have to know what I'm doing. I know that I can dig a hole and put a plant in the ground. And so I like working with the flowers and also doing my own simple garden. But we have a garden program at Operation Night, so I've learned a lot over the years. That's what I do for fun.
I have a, if Kelly wouldn't mind, I have one that's not written down, mm-hmm. and then we'll finish with your question, Kelly. But Elena, what is something that most people don't know about you that you would want us to know? As if we don't know a lot already.
I know. I mean, I, you guys, it's good spying. You're asking such great questions. I love history. I guess that's something. So I do pop up at a lot of lectures and workshops, and sometimes I have the opportunities to bring some teenagers with me. But I really like history, and especially learning about Hudson and Columbia County, but more so the Hudson community, because I come into Hudson every day. My church is State Street Amy Zion Church, so even on Sunday, I come into Hudson. And, yeah, so I would say that's what it is. I'm kind of a history buff, but it's just something that I happen to like. So it's not, you know, I would never be a speaker on different things about history, but I really like to learn the knowledge of the town and the different you know, the different sections of the town and where people lived and where did they migrate to Hudson from. I've always found that to be very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the Hudson history, it's kind of evolved since you were here in the 80s and 90s and the whole, you know, empty storefronts to now almost every storefront is full. How's your view on that, the evolution of Hudson as a city from, say, late 20th century into now?
Well, I think it's been amazing. It's been, on the whole, overall, I think it's been a wonderful transformation, especially for survival and economies. There's always different aspects of any city that evolves and transitions because we get into issues of displacement of folks, and when towns and cities start to renovate, rents go up and property values go up, and gentrification is, I feel, is a natural occurrence of these type of things. So there's always, you know, it's a juggle. You know, if you look at the scale, you know, it's always going up and down and trying to find a balance. I think Hudson has been fortunate to evolve, starting with the antiques and then the arts, and have movers and shakers in town. Just like with the Hudson Opera House from Bill Ebold and Doug Thorne, you know, presidents of the board, like I said, Gary Shiro coming in, and we have Tammy right now, but we've had Tom Forger as president. We've had other presidents. There's Susan now, but their visions correlate with the town. I mention that because when the building was bought for Hudson Hall, there was a lot of naysayers because below 4th Street didn't have any activity. It was really very horrible. But it was bought, and Carrie Haddad started the first arts gallery, and Red Dot opened, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, my gosh, there's life.
Yeah.
You know, so those type of transitions that one could see was fine. And families that are grandparents, people that are grandparents now, you know, they talk about growing up, and when they moved out, they went to Warren Street to the apartments and things like that. And that has transitioned as well. And a lot of families no longer really live on Warren Street. There are some apartments. And now, you know, it's an expensive place to live because it's a destination city.
Yeah.
And people growing up here go, are you kidding me, Hudson? Like, people are coming here. So, you know, it's, I think that's a story of many series, cities that have successes in terms of the economy and taking care of their local residents, as well as adjusting to tourism and the issues and things that go along with increasing the footprint of the town, the economic footprint. But I have to say that the arts are a big part. So if you notice, I talked about the Opera House, this organization that started life in the downtown. I talked about Carrie had dad. She opened the gallery, and then the next thing you know, she had about six or seven. And mm-hmm. in like 2 or 3 years, we had 17 art galleries in Hudson. So that's an amazing transformation. So I go back to say that, you know, when you do that, you have to increase and improve sidewalks and traffic. And it lends to a lot of issues that the cities have to take care of as their cities grow. But I would just say to this, when we are even studying history and civilizations and different things through the ages in high school and college, what I always found to stick out was looking at the artwork that was found on the walls and the Egyptian hieroglyphics, or looking at the pottery and the different things like that of these villages, and what did their cups look like and what was this like. If you just take one word, it's the arts. So that's, I feel, is the vital organ of any community.
Well,
and we are happy in Hudson to have it.
Yeah, I'm elated. You all contribute through Operation Unite through the Arts. I feel like Camp Hill Hudson does that. I would even say WGXC and Tom and everybody else have giving us this opportunity to be in the studio here at the church at 4th and Warren. So thank you, Tom, who's in there managing technicals. So this maybe is a good way to have our final question.
I have the last and final question here. Do you have any advice on how to live a good life?
Well, as an individual, do the best that you can to have a healthy life. Find out what it means to eat clean and healthy as best you can. Don't take yourself too serious. Don't forget to enjoy some goodies and things that you like to do.
Oh, yes.
Dancing.
Yes.
Exercise.
Dancing, exercise, yoga. Take
yoga,
time for
Zumba.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff that makes you move. And more important, to take time for yourself, which is why I like gardening and being out,
because
you can think.
I totally agree with you, Elena.
Thank you. Because you can think and be quiet.
Yay.
And just hear yourself thoughts and your thoughts and think about people.
I was planning to do an exercise today because I know it's good to move your body.
Absolutely.
And listen to wonderful music, and it's a good feeling. You exercise and music.
That's right.
And
Zumba. He said in Zumba. And Rachel mentioned Zumba as well. But I would say, Kelly, you know, in answering that question, after you look at yourself, you have to remember about your family and your neighbors. And even if you don't live that close to somebody, we all have neighbors in our lives.
Yeah.
So my number one message is to be kind. Do your best to be kind. If you don't have anything good to say, then say nothing. But do your best to be kind as best as you can.
And
do a kindness act every day, even if it's holding the door for somebody. Just do your best to be kind.
Kind and respect.
And respectful. Thank
and
you,
not
Rachel.
Not much of arguing, because it doesn't get nowhere.
You are learning a lot, Rachel. Wow, you've come a long way. Absolutely.
I know, and he's a bunch of cuckoo.
Let's thank Elena for your time. Thank you
so
much,
you.
Elena.
Thank you, Elena, for joining us at WGXC. We love to have you here. Thank you so much, WGXC listeners, to join us on lovely news of our guest, Alina Mosley, 94.7. Thank you, and now I have your feedback.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Middle school students will be taught that enslaved people benefited from slavery. They insult us in an attempt to gaslight us, and we will not stand for it.
On Friday, Vice President Kamala Harris spoke out against controversial history standards approved by the Florida Board of Education. Part of the new curriculum calls for teaching how slaves develop skills which could be applied for their personal benefit. Harris called for teaching America's full history. On Face the Nation, former New Jersey governor and 2024 Republican presidential hopeful Chris Christie took aim at Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' defense of how the state wants to teach